When you're a child, reading is full of rules. Books that are appropriate and books that are not. Books that grown-ups will smile at you approvingly for cradling in your arms, and those that will cause grimaces when they spy you tearing through their pages. There are books you're not supposed to be reading, at least not just yet. There is a time and a place. But for me, it felt like there was never enough time, and the place was elusive. Bringing a book of your own to school was a no-no. And not to recess either, where you were supposed to be getting balls thrown at your head. Carrying a book was practically against the law at summer camp, where downtime was for forced mass song. Children were meant to be running around, engaged in active, healthy play with other hardy boys and girls. I hated running around. Before every elementary school classroom had a drop everything and read period, before parents and educators agonized more about children being glued to Call of Duty or getting sucked into the vortex of the internet, reading as a childhood activity was not always revered. Maybe it was in some families, in some towns, in some magical places that seemed to exist only in stories, but not where I was. Nobody trotted out the kid who read all the time as someone to be admired, like the ones who did tennis and ballet and other feats requiring basic coordination. While those other kids pursued their after-school activities in earnest, I failed at art, gymnastics, ice skating, soccer, and ballet with a lethal mix of inability, fear, and boredom. Coerced into any group endeavor, I wished I could just be home already. Rainy days were a godsend because you could curl up on a sofa without being banished into the outdoors with an ominous, "Go play outside!" Well into adulthood, I would chastise myself over not settling on a hobby, knitting or yoga or swing dancing or crosswords, and just reading instead. The default position. Everyone else had a passion. Where was mine? How much happier I would have been to know that reading was itself a passion. Nobody treated it that way, and it didn't occur to me to think otherwise. People laugh today at Roald Dahl's idea that Matilda's father would scream at his daughter to watch TV rather than slink off with a book. But there is a tiny sliver of truth to the satire, where, on the dark side of 70s, benign neglect, parents didn't run around boasting, "She's such a reader," or try to bribe their kids into summer reading. You were supposed to be well-rounded, not bookish. Reading too much hurt your eyes and made you need glasses. So did reading by poor light. My own bedside lamp, my mother pointed out, got especially hot and was a fire hazard. Reading in cars made you throw up. Squinting at two small letters left you blind. There was a shiftiness to kids who secreted themselves in a corner to read God knows what instead of what they should have been doing. Reading when you were supposed to be raking the leaves. Reading when you were supposed to be sleeping. Reading when you were supposed to be making the bed, not lying in it. I did everything I could to read my way out of doing anything else. It was the one thing I was good at.